Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. Phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me or call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So we are grateful once again for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. We are grateful for what all the Lord has been doing. We're here Sunday. This is the Full Gospel Message with Brother Eddie Lee. Being joined with the sisters tonight. Glory be to God. Once again, his days have been switched. Instead of Friday and Saturdays and Sundays. And we thank God for the word the Lord that God is giving him to give unto those of you that are listening today. So as we await for my brother to come on, I just want to take this opportunity to thank God for all you've been listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. As we give you the word of God this day, as God has given unto us, we will give it unto you. And we give all the glory and honor and praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is definitely worthy, people, to be glorified. He is worthy to be lifted up. Amen. And we have to see God's word for what it is. God's word in our life has to be numero uno. It has to be number one. For us to even get the benefits of having his word in our possession. Thank you, Jesus. And I had just looking at today a little bit early and thinking about how that the centurion, when he came to Jesus, or when he sent a message to Jesus about his servant, and Jesus said, I will come and heal him. I noticed one of the first things he said, I am one under authority. I have man under me, and I tell one to come, he cometh, the other go, and the one he doeth, he doeth. But I noticed the first thing he said, I'm a man under authority, which he's saying that I have somebody over me. But what he was saying is that Jesus, your authority is greater than any authority. See, even though they're over me, I couldn't go to them to get what needed to be done. Hallelujah. See, sometimes people, they depend on other people and people, quote, that may be over them instead of really going to the true source, which is Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. We ought to respect leadership. I'm not saying that you don't, but you got to understand where leadership place is. And the centurion, obviously, he knew the importance of authority, even concerning sickness and disease. He knew authority. Glory to God. And he said, I am one under authority. You know, in other words, I got someone over me. But, Lord, his authority is not greater than yours, and his word is not greater than yours. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm going to pass my brother on here. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, brother.
Yes.
Count it all joy. I count it all joy. Yeah. To have this opportunity to meet together on this technology this day, precious Lamb of God, I'm thankful that you included me. My brother, together, from the foundation of the world, you had this in mind. You ordained this moment. And you declared it to be for your glory. And so we are on this Talk Block Radio. Been in an accident, but purpose and ordained for the founders of the world that we should glorify you and declare the kingdom of God and the restoration of all things. Jesus Christ is Lord coming. So thank you for this day. For this is the day the Lord has made. Even Jesus. And I will rejoice and be glad in the opportunity. And the gates of opportunity that we have today as we share together to the world about the redemption and reconciling grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, and praise you. We invite the Holy Spirit to have his perfect way. Amen. All right, dear brother. Shalom.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Shalom to the Alpha and Omega and to all the saints abroad in every place and to all the people of the redeemed in Christ, in Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord God of Israel, creator, the maker who said, Jerusalem is my throne and my place and Zion is my resting place. So we are in Zion. Thank you, Jesus. And so we're declaring this marvelous day. Want to say to everyone that may be listening, we're on this Talk Block Radio, and we're there to give you hope, the now hope, and beyond now, eternal hope in Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, so any place where you're living in the world, geographical area, and you happen to hear this broadcast of the Midnight Cry, we're on this broadcast to declare the great and wonderful news of the gospel of Christ, of hope. And not only hope, but salvation and deliverance right now, even in the now, in your situation, or in your need, in your problem. So we swing the gates of faith open wide to you that there's a solution and an answer coming, and Jesus Christ has written in the book, the Bible, to make you know of this hope and help and answer to your need. Amen and amen. Now, Brother Nathaniel Hunt, the elder minister of the Church of Christ, and with the Elijah message, and a branches are associated in headquarters in 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri. And we are voice crying in the midst of the wilderness this day. There is light and hope for you, for America, and the whole world. Behold the Lamb of God, as written in the scripture long ago, that takes away the sin curse of Adam from your life. Okay, Brother Nate, we said to our audience and people who are listening that you're on the broadcast every day, declaring the end time truth prophecy and unfolding some mysteries and clearing their confusion and giving the firsthand revelation knowledge of the gospel restoration and the coming of Christ and the coming of Elijah and the coming of the third wave of the Holy Ghost that's throughout to sweep the whole earth, and we are to make ready. So, everyone out there, if you want to listen, some wonderful news, tune in every day at about 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and without price, without money, without someone asking for money, freely we receive from the Lord, we give it, even though it takes money to operate on the earth and on these technologies. We don't ask people for money, and we don't have any time to waste to be scanning them for this and that, but the only thing we ask them, take time and just listen. Take time and just listen and consider. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You might be blessed. You might find an answer to your life. And you might disagree. But for Saul, get time and take time and listen. It might be the answer you're praying for. Okay. Every day, Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. The telephone number, if you have a computer or other means, but if you don't, you can call in 323-870-3403 and listen in. Ask a question, prayer request, or a special need, or just join us with a testimony of Christ. We welcome you, especially the women, particularly today, the men also, and to everyone. Everyone that have a testimony or want a question, answer as much as we know, we will give it to you. Okay. Today is about the Great Confession. Sister Anderson, if you're available, Sister Tig, if you're available, because I know the sisters have husbands, they have children, and they have a lot of things that they are doing because they have a family. And when you got a family with children and husband, it's always a busy time on the weekend. And because you're getting ready for the, what they call the Monday moves, the Monday, what they call it, Brother Nate? Monday day blues, because you got to go to work.
Yes,
let's
Lord.
Don't call it blues. Don't call it Monday morning blues. We're going to call it Monday morning hope with Christ and rising to glorify him, even by having a job, an employment or a business or whatever. Thank God for the opportunity that a lot of people don't have. Millions of lives across the land in the sea are suffering so many things. But we tell you that the gospel would heal the land. The gospel of Christ would heal your soul. It would heal your nation. So if you apply the gospel of Christ and the power of Christ that brought him alive from the dead to your life, to your humanity, and to your nation, you can know there will be a victory coming. There will be a victory coming.
Let's welcome on Sister Anderson there, brother. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brothers. Amen. Thank God for you.
Thank God for you, dear sister. We call you all the voice of, what do you call it, Phyllis, of Phoebe, on the air. On the air time. The evangelist for the kingdom of God and for Christ. And you know the word evangelist, what it's maybe meaning of the word evangel, it means, you know what the word missionary and evangel mean? It means they're interconnected with the term called witness, and they're also interconnected with the word disciple. So discipleship and a witness or a living epistle is connected all together with the word evangelize and missionary. Anybody want to speak on those three terms before we get started here on our mission tonight? The word a lamp and a light, Jesus said we'd be the lamp and a light to the world. What does the lamp and a light do? Then he says we are on a mission. Everyone that's in the family of God or the body of Christ is on a mission. Now, they may not be ordained to a particular what they call priesthood of office. That's why people get confused. You don't have to be ordained to a particular leadership priesthood office in the body of Christ, like apostle or bishop or elder, evangelist, or pastor, or deacon, or prophet, or whatever. Prophets are not ordained in an office in the New Testament. They are called and used of the Holy Ghost, but they're not ordained to that office. But the other office are ordained call offices, like apostle, bishop, elder, evangelist, so forth, pastors, and so forth. Okay. So therefore, you can be ordained by the Holy Ghost and called to a particular gifted, having a gift, and that all born-again saved believers have the gift to witness to every soul. Then they have the gift of the Holy Spirit in them working to be a witness and to activate that light and truth. So daily, everyone is a light and a lamp and bear witness of the light of Christ that redeems. I'm a witness. You know, when I do some door-to-door and street witnessing in Chicago, which I love, and on the corner do some declaration and witness of the gospel, you know, a lot of people, well, not a lot, but a few people always pass me and Brother John, and they say, I've been wanting to do that. I'm so glad to see somebody. I've been wanting to do that, but I, you know, I just ain't got around. Here, take this $5 as they pass by on the street. I've been wanting to do that, brother. I appreciate y'all out here. I've been wanting to do it. I had all kinds of different people come by and say, I've been wanting to do that, but I just ain't had quite the courage. So, hey, well, maybe you're doing what God wants you to do. Everybody's not meant for street ministry or door-to-door ministry, but you can do it because the Lord has commanded his church. One of the missionary purposes that the angel in these last days has given us Even if you don't have a worldwide going to every nation, you can just go from door to door and street to street and place to place and, yeah, on that side of ministry. Amen. And just like we're on this radio and we've been blessed, this is the type of ministry to reach the thousands of people sitting in our houses or our revenue and sharing the gospel together. So I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I'm glad about it. I didn't probably think I would be doing that because my heart is always in the streets and in the down-end orders and down where people need you the most. And the people were, I remember this African brother pulled up, and I had met him at another church, and I had went to him. He saw me on the corner, and he said, "Brother, he said he drove up. He's a businessman. He attended this church, and I had met him and made kind of contact with him and a couple more of the people because I went to that early prayer meeting, and that's how you get to meet people in different situations, and so you can share back and forth. And I like meeting other Christians and other believers who have a goal for the kingdom and for Christ. I just love that. And so I used to visit Saturday morning prayer where he was at, and I got to fellowship and make connection with some of them there. And so, you know, you never know what good you can do if you just move your feet sometimes.
Amen.
And well, it's your mouth. Sometimes you can just show up and people look at you and wonder and you don't say anything. And you just show up and be a witness. And some people just, brother, you don't say anything. I said, no. You want me to say something? So the Lord can use you in different ways and different means at different times. So never put yourself down because you ain't got a pulpit or you ain't got a big radio program. Whatever you for Christ is great in his sight. Whatever you plant a seed for the love of Christ, you are great in the sight of the Lord. Never, never think because you're not on the worldwide TV and worldwide ministry that you don't count. But Jesus says in 1 Corinthians 12, there's many members in the body of Christ, and they all don't have the same calling. They don't have the same talent. He said, but the least of you. I like that part when he said, but the least member. The one that we call, he doesn't have a great singing voice, a great orator voice, a good frame, but the least of you. See, God always looks at the least of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at the value of the least of us. The one that's insignificant, the one that stands at that door and shriek to church and invite the people in, or take the garbage shower, help people in their need, the least of us. When you give give a cup of kindness every day in every way. So I want you to remember that every day of your life, give a cup of kindness, give a cup along the way to everyone in every place, leave a cup of kindness. Because you'll find love at the bottom of it, compassion will be your legacy. Give a cup of kindness, and every day, along the way, everywhere you stay or leave, give a cup of kindness. It will grow up, and they will remember your legacy, a cup of kindness. So let us be about every day giving a cup of kindness to some in every way along the way. It will remember, they will remember kindness. Because it's connected to the dregs of love and compassion, and they remember you, they remember the cup of kindness that you gave them along the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Anderson? And Brother Anderson over there sitting in the corner, wherever he is, we greet you, dear brother. We appreciate you letting the wife be on.
Amen. Yes.
I have to, you know, we get elect at that when people are married and have husbands, they don't understand the authority or recognize their covenant, especially their wives are to submit to the authority of their husband as being wife and husband, and that's not a very good topic these last days. I let no man tell me what to do. We got an attitude in the world. We're not subject to any kind of authority, Brother Nick.
No.
That's how we acting there, brother.
Yeah. I ain't going to get off in that, get myself in trouble. I'm not going to step in there and get myself in deep trouble. I get off of that subject. Because God didn't meant for us to be brute, what they call brute beasts. You know, and some men are brute beasts and controlling and jealous and possessive, and men and women are like the same way. And women, brute beasts, they want to control their husband, jealous, they're controlling and dominating. And they just want to every step. Why are you looking at that person like that? Why are you turning around and look at that? I mean, they're under control, controlling, dominating, and Jesus is not meant for that, but it's, you know, it's all right to be conscious of your relationship. But, you know, I don't think Jesus meant us to be a horse and a mule or something like that. But sometimes relationships, marriage, and other kind of relationships, they can get into a horse and mule thing, Brother Nate.
Yeah. Yeah, it can't get like that. Yes, it can.
Get up there. Get up there, mule. I hit you. Get up. The mule said, I'd be glad when this day is over so I can get in that stall and get away from these dominating men. I'm going to get up, beat me, and cross them on my head. Amen. I know I'm going down this road, and you ain't got to be keep beating me. Amen. Amen. The mule said, he looked back at you. What? I'm the one that caused you to get this food and crop, and you just beat me, and I'm the one that make you alive and plow in this field. So don't be beating me. I'm going to kick you one of these days. So, and, you know, sometimes people get tired of being abused and brutalized, and some situations end in violence and people killing one another because they say, I'm sick and tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired and sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
That happens, and that can happen. And when people are brutalized and molested and beaten and whooped and relationships and homes, and it happens in business, happens in the nations, and communist nations where they brutalize you, in Hindu nations and Islam nations where they brutalize the women and put the women down and call it some kind of rule that Allah got, and a woman can't look at another man or speak, or if they put it, they'll kill her right now in Islam. So I ain't going to get into that. I'm going to get into that. I don't want to get into that. I don't know why I'm talking about that, but I'm going to leave that alone. But I just say we are American, and we are in American nations, and we don't have a lot of these dominating, controlling laws make women subservient and like slaves. We're so grateful that only that you'll find that now and then in America, because we have different cultures coming from all nations. But an American way is liberty, and sometimes people get too much liberty. I said sometimes they get too much freedom.
Amen.
Then it destroys them. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because they want to go wild and get crazy. Yeah, some people want to go wild and be crazy. And so some worldly, well, I want my freedom. Well, you what you mean, you want your destruction freedom. Okay, let me get on to that. But Jesus is not like that. Jesus.
Amen.
We are married to Jesus. The Bible says in the 5th chapter of Ephesians expression, and in Jeremiah, that Israel were married to him. And it's a marriage relationship. And a marriage relationship is based on a covenant of agreement. And so marriage is based on covenant. And our relationship with Jesus as not only disciple and evangelist and missionary were evangelized, but as a relation, a personal relation called wife and husband. Jesus is married to the church. The church is a wife, or styled as a woman, and she's called a virgin. And so the church is likened to a virgin that Christ is going to have a wedding ceremony when he meets her. And the wedding ceremony is that we're married to Christ, and the Bible said we are his children, we are his family, but most of he called the church, the redeemed church, his wife. He called Israel, his people, his chosen people, that it was his wife. And so that's a real personal when you said wife and relation. So Christ is the husband man, and his redeemed children are styled as the woman. The woman is styled in the Revelation 12, in Ephesians 5, the church is styled as a woman. Now Revelation 12 tells us that Christ is married to his redeemed church. Now in the last days, he's restoring his wife to status, full status. So, Nora, let's get on going what we're going to hear. Now,
yes.
So everyone get their marriage ring from Jesus. When the Holy Spirit come and they accept Jesus, he puts a ring on their finger and says, these people, this is my wife. And I'm the head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the husband, man. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the husband, man. I'm the husband, man. And I'm not like these husbandmen on the earth misuse their authority. I'm not going to misuse my authority. But I will chasten you in love. And whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. Lord chastens and corrects him. That we may bring peaceful fruit and be delivered from our mishap. Now, the great confession. The word mission and witness and evangelize and discipleship are all connected, interconnected together. So everyone that's born of God, of the Spirit of God, with faith in the blood and the resurrection of Christ, and baptized in his name, can't leave out because people get all upset. You don't tell them that you get baptized with water. You know, they get really upset. We don't leave none of the gospel out, so we ain't going to leave none out. So we don't want nobody to get upset because one person going to get upset over the just, oh, you leave out the water baptism. Well, I believe in water baptism, but water baptism of itself does not save you of yourself of water baptism.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a obedience for you, a sign that you are submitting to Christ, buried and died, and that through faith and repentance, your sins are no more and they are remitted. Now, you rise and walk in the newness of life. But let me give you a hint here about the great confession, which the great confession is to make us have possession of something. If you say it long enough and ardent and diligent enough, it will come to pass because you will have what you say. You know what? I always told this little story before we get started. Well, we have 1 hour tonight, that brother, right? The hour?
Yeah, we got 32 minutes. 32 minutes.
Okay, okay. Then I'm going to give it to you, sister, as I said it. You shall have what you say. Now, when I was a little child, about 12, I remember this incident, and we was out in front of my yard, the kids, and we were playing. And, you know, you have some people who have an impediment in speech, they call stutter. You know, they stutter when they speak, they can't have this impediment. Now, I tried this, and I don't know why I did this. It's foolish, because I saw some people were stuttering. So I just did it. I tried it for a couple of straight days with stutter and just kept doing it. Do you know I got so shocked? After I did it for a couple of days practicing, I don't know, and then I started stuttering. I couldn't hardly speak without stuttering.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared me. Woo, woo. I'm going to quit this. Let me quit this. Because I began to say it over and over and over again and repeatedly, and I began to stutter.
Mm-hmm.
I said this to say this. The great confession in possessing something, there is a condition to possessing and saying and speaking. Now let's go to Romans chapter 10. Who has Romans 10? Where's that busy bee? My sister called her the busy bee, Sister Helen. Amen. I know she's a busy bee. A married woman with many kids and grandchildren, he probably helping somebody out or doing something at home there. That child is always busy. Hallelujah. Wow. Okay. Romans 10 and verse 9. We're gonna confess something.
Yeah.
We have to go through a confession in order to possess it. But we have to be hold fast and diligent declare it until unmovable saying, let your confession be as in stone and concrete.
confessing God's word and God's promise, his covenant, his will, and see how we activate to receive the promise. How is this work, receiving the promise? By the great confession. How do we lay hold on it? By the great confession. And what the confession is made unto who and to what? Now, the confession is always about who and what. Confession is always made, what are you confessing unto who and what? Or whom? Now, some people are confessing all kinds of things in the earth, and they're possessing it because they're believing, said, I believe that. Now, if I go out and I bow to that tree in my yard, and I said, this is my ancestor here. So I'm going to confess and bow to my ancestor every day and say, hello, ancestor, I'm talking to you, and I'm going to bow because you're a reincarnated God come back, and I'm going to bow and worship you and keep watching you and confess that you're my help. So anytime I get in trouble, I'm going to come and bow to this tree, and this tree is going to help me. And I keep confessing and believing it. And it'll take hold to me. Well, something will take hold to me, I put it that way.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah, something will take hold to you. Amen.
Yes, amen.
The great confession.
Amen.
What is the Christian's confession that's different from all other confessions? Now, here's the problem. What real Bible Christians' confession, it makes them a difference between all the faith and all the religion and all the deities and all of the philosophies in the world. What is the redeemed Bible-believing Christian confession and possessing that's different from all other confessions?
Yeah.
Our confession divides us because you got many people in the world. Cultures, language, deity, religions, worship, and everything, education-wise. But our confession, listen, this makes us very distinctly different than all the people in the earth. It sets us apart. Israel, their covenant and confession to the great God Jehovah made them singular, the different people in the whole earth. That's why they call them peculiar people. We're called a royal people, a peculiar people, a holy nation. Israel was called distinctly among all the nations because of the covenant which they had aligned them to, and the one that gave the covenant. I said the covenant and the one that gave the covenant. So it's based on the person, the name, and the deity, and his word, covenant, valid. They confess. They confess this covenant they had made with this living God, called one God. In the days gone by, nations worshiped many gods. All the nations still worship many gods. But not as many as in the ancient days, 2003. They worship many gods. All nations worship all kind of deities. They had many gods. Egypt had Romans, Assyria, just name all the heathen nations. They had many gods in their worship. Pagans, they call them pagan and heathen and demonic people, idolatry. Israel was told that these worship of their gods will be called idolatry. Do we have idolatry today? Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We have it in America. It's in different forms, in different religious form and political form and so, but we have idolatry today in our society, in the Western society. It is called the Christian society, but we are no longer so much a Christian society. We are an idolatry nation. We are becoming more pagan and heathen in many areas of worship. Oh, brother, you saying that? Yeah, I got to expose the devil. I mean, you can't expect me to get on here and don't expose darkness and don't expose the devil so you don't know what darkness and light. Devil, I just leave you in the dark, leave you in ignorance. No, I can't do that. Can't do that. I know you may not like me, but the prophets of the old Bible, they would always speak, thus said the Lord God. And when they speak, most half of the time, it would make people so mad. Wow. So the gospel and the revelation of God's truth will make people mad as well as make some people glad.
Yes.
Now, which
Amen.
Group you going to be in? Glad or mad?
Yes. Let it make
he
me
called
glad.
The Christian,
yes.
Gives a cup of kindness everywhere he goes. What's the kindest thing you can do for a person? Yeah, they have many needs, and you can leave a kindness, a cup of kindness their way. But what's the greatest depth of kindness that you can give to every person on the earth?
Yes, life.
They may have need of food, clothes, shelter, sickness, oppression, housing, and those things are definite present need for many people. Jesus stopped and ministered to many people. Their present needs, as well as their future eternal needs. Don't leave out the greatest, the eternal need. Wow.
Yeah.
Now listen, the great confession, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 11. We're going to make this great confession very clear where it starts at. So if anyone that has the nerve to tell the whole world today where this great confession in order to possess or to obtain or possess this great confession, if thou shalt, here's where it begins at, the importance, the priority, number one. Number one confession, most important in the whole world. Romans 10, beginning of verse 9 to 11. Now she's about to read and declare this great confession, Romans 9 and 10.
Yes, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Wow. Can somebody say, wow? That's the
wow.
Amen.
It is.
That's
Amen.
The greatest revelation and confession. Hallelujah. I said
Amen.
That is the greatest
Amen.
Revelation of truth and confession.
Yes.
Let's read that goodie once more again. So let's read that goodie so everybody in the whole earth can hear that.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about a person and what you have to do. Let's read Romans 10 again. Paul writing to the Roman church. What is he? Let's get that again. Let's start in verse 9. Let's start at verse 8 this time and go all the way to 11. Let's start at verse 8 and go all the way to 11.
But
go ahead.
Said it, the word is not thee. Even in thy mouth and in thy
mouth.
Heart.
Oh,
in
heart.
Thy mouth. And in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
Wow.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen.
Can anybody shout on that and get crazy like you
and
the bear? Can you get it?
Yeah.
The Bears won the football game today, and all the people were shouting. Oh, they were so glad. Chicago Bears won. Oh, they was crazy out there. It was just thousands about that. Oh, there's noise all over the place. So can we make a little noise for Jesus?
Amen.
Can we make some noise for Jesus? We just heard
the greatest help
to the beginning
great
of confession
revelation.
Of your faith and your hope. And we just read it to you. It is a short statement to the whole world. Confession and possessing it. If thou shalt say with thy mouth.
Amen.
The word is nigh. When you hear the word, it's nigh to you. You hear the promise. When it's preached, when it's taught to you. When it's exalted to you, when it's prophesied to you. When it's made known to you, declared to you. When you knock on somebody's door, you don't just go in and say, read this message, but I got something to declare with. Can you have it today? Well, I can have it. Well, you have to
declare it.
Donate that the way next month.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Brother, let's welcome on Sister Helen. God bless you, Sister Helen.
Sister Helen.
God bless.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, dear one. Busy.
Hello.
Amen.
Scripture said me, when I knock on somebody's door and sent life and hope and deliverance, have to wait to get this gift. I know somebody don't think it's not going to put them on delay. Do you ever think God, somebody want a gift of salvation, and he said, what till you come to this certain place next month?
Mm-hmm.
If you happen to get run over by a car, a bomb drop on you, it's okay. I'm sorry about that. If you happen to have a heart attack the next day, and I didn't get the gift, receive the gift, you know, it's a tornado came and I got killed before you told me I had to wait till next Sunday or wait till next Saturday or wait next week. I want to tell you, you better stop telling people about waiting.
Yes, amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
Great confession. Amen.
Brother Nate, if there is nowhere any water anywhere, and you're in a nation or even in a place where there's no water, will the water keep you from receiving this gift? I just want to know. I want God base this gift. If there is no water and nowhere on earth, I'm sorry, you just can't get it.
No, thank God it's not so.
You mean to me, I can only get it if there's some place that got some HQO, on the earth? HTO, that's the only place I can receive this gift. But where there's no HQO anywhere, I'm on the land. So what? I can't receive the gift of salvation and life? Wow. God made it that hard? And so I missed it because it may not rain for 2 or 3 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. I hardly have any drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
You know some places that people don't hardly have drinking water any?
Yeah.
You know that? You know, parts of the world, mm-hmm. in many places, they hardly have enough water to drink. Now, why are you going to baptize them?
Now,
the Bible didn't say nothing about no sprinkling now. Come on, let's get it straight now. God ain't said nothing about no sprinkling. No, I'm sorry about that. No sprinkling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read this one more again, as they say, this great confession. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Thank
Romans
you,
chapter
Jesus.
10. Beginning of verse 8 to 11. Come on, somebody help me out.
Amen.
Somebody.
But what says that?
What do I say?
The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised them from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Wow.
Amen.
Can anybody
say that? That's my mouth. Yes, Lord.
Can anybody out there want to receive life? And I'm here to tell you, you ain't got to wait to get to no building. You ain't got to wait to get to no meeting, even though that's good. But if there is no meeting, we're meeting together right now. And Jesus is in the midst of us. Hallelujah. And he's watching over his word. And he's looking, we have heard, and we're now ready to confess and present and lay hold on it. The word of faith which we preach, that it can be yours. It can be yours now? Wow, I don't have to wait to get a building 100 miles away. What if it's 100 miles I can't get there? And get in the tub, or 200 miles. What if I have a heart attack on the way there? because I can't go that, walk that far.
My Lord.
What if, if the water, in some places I went over there, the waters are so far away, they had to walk so many miles, if they find any, God going to withhold this gift from me because there is no water. There is no building. There's no meeting place. He's going to withhold it from me. So I just, if I get shot on the way, just if I just drop the next day, God just withhold that gift from me. Now, pressure and position.
Yeah.
Now, look what it says. This is very important about the confession of faith. Do you know why the gospel has six principles? Hebrews, the gospel is divided into six principal parts. The first, do you know why the first principle of the gospel is faith?
I said
the first principle of the gospel is faith in God and the Lord Jesus. Do you know why that's first and not third?
Yes.
Okay. You understand that the gospel is in six principal parts that Jesus preached and Paul preached. The first stone in the gospel is faith in God and the Lord Jesus. Why is that the most important confession to be based on the who? Who is the who?
Who is the what?
I said the who and the what.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I said it. I don't offend about it. Do you know we have 1 billion, 1 billion, Nate, over 1 billion, 1 billion Islam people.
Wow.
And they're growing.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, we got almost 1 billion Roman Catholic and Greek and Roman Greek Catholic. And they're bowing at the feet of Mary and all the saints, the dead saints. Wow. Wow.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody said wow.
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 You know how many Hindu people, Indians are great people. All these are great people and wonderful people. All in Islam are great people, but they have blindness on. Who put their blindness on, brother? You know, glasses are complete dark and they blind you. Who put the blindness on Islam? They're blind. Who put the blindness on the Roman Catholic and what they teach? Who put the blindness on the Hindus who worship 680 gods individually? So we got three blue people who number almost one-third of the Earth's population, one-third, who have been given blindness by the devil.
Amen.
You could have been born in one of them nations.
Amen.
I said you and I could have been born in one of those nations.
That's so true.
So you ought to stop being glad you were born over here. Even though somehow we were brought over here in chains. Do you know why blacks were brought over here in the chains? Why God permitted it? Do you really know why he allowed it?
Okay.
I didn't say he did it. I didn't say he did it. He permitted it. See, God will allow certain things even though he don't actually do it. Or command it. When I began to tell people why blacks were brought to America in chains, even though God didn't ordain it or command them to do that evil, to this last one, because you got about 5 minutes left. Is that about right? Amen, brother?
Got about 9 minutes, brother.
Okay. Let's go to the other confession in Ephesians chapter 2, the great confession that brings you all the way. We talk about being uprooted. The Bible talks about, and it styles us the people of God or whatever you're based on about being uprooted. And Jesus gave a parable in the 13th chapter of Matthew's about the word of God being sown. You remember that, Nate? It said four people, the word of God was sown on them, right?
Amen.
Right.
And only one of those four people was able to withstand because of their confession and what they possessed,
mm-hmm.
was able to stand. The rest of them was overtaken and uprooted.
Yeah.
It's an interesting parable
mm-hmm.
about believers, why they can't withstand or why
mm-hmm.
they won't or why they will be uprooted or wiped away. I don't intend to be in that crowd.
Amen.
I
want
to be in the crowd with the one. That's my
Amen.
Desire. That's my prayer.
Amen.
Wow. Fool. And your Amen. Confession and possession of something has something to do with it, whether you stand and they do it. There is a reason why Jesus said in Matthew 24, when he's talking about the end of the world and teaching the disciples, he that endureth to the end.
Yeah.
Amen.
He that
Amen.
Endureth.
Or to the end.
He said endure to the end.
Mm-hmm.
That means, the word endure means you're going to meet something.
Yeah. <Lord Jesus. laughs>
The devil try to wear you out.
mm-hmm.
I said he will oppress you, wear you out, afflict you. In trouble, God will permit tribulation, trials, to test you. Man, he would try to wear you out. And he tried to wear the saints out, man. He's something else.
Amen.
Let's
Amen.
Read the great other confession and possession. Ephesians chapter 2. Somebody get it. Verse 13 to 21. This will be the last one tonight about the great, obtaining the great confession and obtaining the victory and enduring to the end. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 to 21. If someone would speak this revelation and confession.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13
yeah.
to verse 21.
Yes, sir.
The word of God says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for the making himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord."
Now, did you hear that? That confession
yeah.
that God made of him. Did you hear that? That possession,
yeah.
that prized possession we
yeah.
can possess.
Yeah.
Did you hear that now? What we're made in him. And we have to keep this in mind. You see the revelation of what he says, what we are?
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
So, now, you want to close with a prayer to, or a last word to all the women and men across the world. If you want to say a 1 minute thing in closing, I'll give you both of you a half a minute. I took all your time away, so I ain't gonna apologize no more because I keep doing it.
Amen. Amen.
You just
don't
have to kick me to the curb.
Amen.
All right. I rejoice that you are still on this top side of the earth, brother and sister. I rejoice with you to hear your voice.
Amen.
I rejoice.
I'm glad. With you.
I will rejoice.
Amen.
Thank you,
yes,
Jesus.
Lord, I rejoice with
devil,
you.
Devil, you ain't taking my joy. Say, the devil, you're not taking my joy. You're not taking my joy. You're not taking my confession in Christ and my obtaining from Christ. I'm holding fast the great confession of heaven and the great confession of the throne and my husband, man, and I'm his wife. I'm married to him.
Amen.
He's married to me. So we got thing going on, but it's not done in the dark. It's over.
Amen.
Bless the name of the Lord. You can join this family of people out there. You can join to be a citizen and co-heir with Christ. You can have the great confession that even communism and Marxism and storms and torture and beatings that can't stop you or hinder your faith because it's built upon the rock that cannot be moved. And that rock is Christ, the crucified, risen rock. Your confession and your faith in him in whom can stand the test.
Yes.
The great confession.
Amen.
The great obtaining position. As we go, I want everyone to give a cup of kindness to everyone in every place, wherever you go, leave a cup of kindness.
Amen.
You'll remember to be your legacy. Where you go, keep a cup of kindness where you go. In every place that you be, leave a cup of kindness along the way. Your legacy it will be. Now I love you all. Those that are out there, you can take a cup from Jesus, say, I love you, come unto me, just ask him to come to your life, redeem you, blot your sins, give you, say, give me a new heart, give me a new spirit, and Lord, I want to be a part of your family, and I confess that I believe you died for my sin and rose again, and he will come into your life and start you on the road to recovery. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Love you all.
Praise the Lord.
And we'll go into that further on next Friday, and what do you call it? Next 6 and 7 days, and finish this great confession. And through the week, Brother Nate is going to be on 7 p.m. Sunday Central Time. Everybody out there, make sure you listen to Talk Blog 7 p.m. every day. To hear our brother declare the great King, the great Lord, Jesus Christ, who loves you.
Amen.
Amen.
Once again, we are grateful for the Lord for this being able to do this broadcast, bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto you. Lord, stay the same. Look for the broadcast tomorrow. Look for the advertisement then. So once again, as for Brother Eddie Lee, this is Brother Nathaniel Hunt. Sister Anderson, Sister Teague, we love you all. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.